12 this morning, Joshua chapter number 12. Been taking a break this month from our book studies and just preaching on different things around Christmas and the New Year. And we've come to a passage of Scripture that the Lord laid on my heart, I think it was earlier this week. And this is a message that is preparing us for the New Year. Even though the immediate context really has nothing to do with the New Year, you understand, but the outline can be an outline that can help us as we go into this new year. Can't hardly believe that 2019 is almost here. It's amazing how fast time goes. And I want to preach to you on this subject out of Joshua chapter 12 today. Just one verse of Scripture, verse number 7, to get our title. Joshua chapter 12, verse 7. These are the kings of the country which Joshua and the children of Israel smote on this side Jordan, on the west. I'm going to stop there. Notice the three words, on this side. On this side. Now, when you study through the book of Joshua, the on this side means they are now standing in the promised land. And there's a lot of victories. And when you come to this portion of Scripture, there's already been some victories. And there's more to come. And I want to preach to you on this subject, on this side, where you are now. That's basically what the thought is here in the life of Joshua and the Israelites. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time that we have come together. And I pray, dear Lord Jesus, that you help my heart to be clean and right with you. May there be absolutely nothing hindering you. I pray that I'm a clean vessel today. Pray that you take my thoughts, the words, the actions, the expressions, everything, and may you be the preacher today. I yield myself to you. Use me today. May these thoughts be thoughts that we never get over. You challenge us today clearly from your word, and take this outline and make us more like you. Thank you for where you've brought us. And I pray that you'll take us where you want us to go. In Jesus' name, amen. In this book of Joshua, when you come to this part, from crossing the Jordan River to seeing the walls of Jericho fall down flat, there have been ups and there have been downs. There have been victories and there have been defeats for the nation of Israel. Sounds a whole lot like our life, doesn't it? There are ups, there are downs. There are victories, there are defeats. Through it all, God has been with them, carrying them through. Now you come to chapter 12 in this book, and in this chapter we see a roster of the kings of Canaan who were defeated, given to us. Now I'm not going to read this, but these are just rosters. This is a roster of just different kings that were defeated by the nation of Israel. And at first glance, if you just read through this chapter, one may ask, what can we get from this portion of Scripture that just has this roster of kings that's been defeated? But I want to say this chapter is full of great truths for our consideration. And it's found in the key center of what I call the main thought of this message in these three words, on this side. In other words, Joshua and the others had great victories on this side of Jordan. However, now we see a pause in all the action. And we see some things for Joshua to do on this side that we can all learn from. In other words, the place at that time that God had brought Joshua to and the nation of Israel to, at that time God pauses the action and he gives him four things to do. And I want to say that God has brought us to this last Sunday in this year of 2018. And these four things that God gave Joshua to do, I submit are the same four things that we should do this coming year. And I encourage you to make mental notes or physical notes and turn this into a prayer list that as I go into the new year, help me do these things. The first thing we see on this side that Joshua was to do, in other words, pause Joshua and do these things. Number one, he was to look back. We see this in verse 1 and following. Notice now with me. Now these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote and possessed their land on the other side Jordan. Do you see it? In other words, he starts here with a list of the kings that were defeated on the other side. Now folks, he's talking about on this side. But while they're on this side, it's interesting that God goes back to the other side first. And he says, right here, their land on the other side Jordan toward the rise of the sun from the river Arnon unto Mount Hermon and all the plain on the east. Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon and ruled from Aroer, which is upon the bank of the river Arnon and from the middle of the river and from half Gilead. Even on the river of Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon, from the plain to the sea of Chinneroth on the east and under the sea of the plain, even the salt sea on the east and the way to Beth-Shemoth, and from the south under Ashtoth-Pisgah, the coast of Og, king of Bashan, which was of the remnant of the giants that dwelt at Ashtaroth and at Edrei. Verse number 5, and reigned in Mount Hermon and in Salcah and in all Bashan under the border of the Geshurites and the Maacathites and half Gilead, the border of Sihon, king of Heshbon. Notice this now. Them did Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the children of Israel smite. And Moses, servant of the Lord, gave it for a possession unto the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh. Here's the point. It's interesting, at this time of great victory, and when you come to chapter 12, there's been great victory. And at this time of great victory, that right here, that before Joshua and those on the other side are mentioned, it goes back to mention Moses on the other side. I call this looking back. When you look at these thoughts here, there are a couple of things we can learn here about taking time to look back on the other side. Letter A here, every generation has their battles to fight. We see this in verses 1 through 7. Get this now, Moses on the other side, and that generation, Moses and his generation, had great battles to fight on the other side of Jordan. Now you come to Joshua and his generation on this side Jordan, and he had great battles to fight. You know, so it is today. The point I want to make here is it's not easy on any generation to serve God. Teenagers try to make parents think that things are rougher on them now. I got news for you, teenagers. Your parents had battles too that they had to fight. On the flip side, parents sometimes give children a hard time, not realizing that they also have battles that they fight. What I'm trying to say to us here is the bottom line is every generation will have battles to obtain their Canaan. Every generation has certain battles that they must fight in order to get their promised land. One generation may not have the exact battles as another, but battles nonetheless. We need to look back and remember the battles that our forefathers have fought and understand that God has put some Moses in our life. See, when you're on this side and things are going good, and I'm talking about there's great victories that's just been obtained, and you're looking at new horizons right in front of you. On this side, wherever you are, take time to look back and realize that every generation has their battles to fight. Take time to look back, and number two, letter B, remember those who have gone before. Joshua on this side was not to forget Moses on the other side. Get it? There would have been no Joshua on this side without a Moses on the other side. Somebody said we're indebted to men of past generations. Other men have labored and we enter into their labors and the good works they began. We who are on this side must look back and remember those on the other side who fought to help us get where we are today. Everybody here has somebody on the other side who needs to be remembered and needs to be honored. Let me just give you some of those. On the other side, I'm not talking about in heaven. Some of them are already in heaven, but I'm just talking about those in the past generation who have fought great battles, and now I'm living as part of their victory. I'm obtaining and living in some of the things that they built and they won. God never wants us to forget those that have gone before. In other words, those who helped to fight to get me where I am today. I'm thinking about some of these folks. I start off with the one who'll be preaching for us tonight. He's here. My Moses. His name is Preacher Lastly. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not here to lift him up. I'm here to lift his God up through him. But that man has fought great battles. His wife has fought great battles on the other side. And now this church is on this side. But one thing we need to do while we're on this side with more battles to fight, I get it, we need to pause and look back and say thank you for standing true. Thank you for standing tall. And I know, preacher, I know we're not here to lift you up, but I'm, as preacher, as pastor of this church, I salute you, sir. I salute your wife. Thank you for standing true. Thank you for fighting the battles that you fought together, that you're still fighting. And I'm telling you, I recognize something. I would not be on this side without a Moses on the other side. And we never need to forget this. I think of somebody like a Mr. Curley, who taught me in sixth grade, started sharing with me how to give gospel tracts out. And I'm glad to say, I don't mean this boastfully, but I'm glad to say I've never gotten over that. I still give out gospel tracts, 41 years old now. God had started to instill that in me as a sixth grader here in this local church. If you teach children in this church, let me remind you, I'm not much. I'm not trying to lift myself up. If you think I am, that's ridiculous. But folks, you may be teaching the next pastor of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. If it's a boy, somebody say amen. You may be teaching the next missionary. You may be teaching the next Graham and Renee Foran. Who knows? And all I'm saying to you is that we who are on this side enjoying the blessings of God, let us stop. Just like God did with Joshua, and he said, don't you forget Moses. There'd be no battles on this side for you to win if that man of God hadn't fought the battles on the other side for you to get over here in the first place. Amen. May God help us never to forget those who have gone before. I think of somebody like Mr. Kaiser. You had to know I was going to mention him, right? He's with the Lord. Taught me homiletics. Taught me Bible doctrines. He taught me Greek. I don't know if he taught me or I don't know about Greek, but anyway, he taught me all these things about the Word of God. What a mighty man of God. Wonderful man of God. I don't shout often. I'm not against it. I'm for it if God's in it. Amen. I've shouted twice that I know of in my life. It just came out, and both times was under him. I remember one time he was passing out a passage of Scripture, and he was like, okay, tell me what the main thought of this passage is. He's going around the room and said, that's good, that's good. He said, let me tell you what I got. And he started telling us what he got, and I just couldn't hold it anymore, friends. I mean, I just shouted, glory to God, whatever the case may be. He's with Jesus now. He had knee surgery, blood clot set up, went to his heart. He's with the Lord. Ripped my heart out of my chest. But his life is living on, at least in one person I know. And I know he's living on in many, many more. We who are on this side, number one, look back to the other side. Don't forget them. By the way, young people, if you have a mom and dad who are fighting the battles of God, trying to live a godly life, a holy, separated, godly life, fighting the battles, I'm going to tell you something, you ought to get on your face and thank God for them. Amen. Look back. Number two, look out. We see this in verses 7 and 8. Notice this. These are the kings of the country with Joshua and the children of Israel smote on this side Jordan, on the west from Bel-Gad in the valley of Lebanon, even unto the Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, which Joshua gave unto the tribes of Israel for possession according to their divisions, in the mountains and in the valleys, in the plains, in the springs, in the wilderness, in the south country, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. Don't you get it? They're everywhere. Do you see it? They're everywhere. In other words, Joshua, on this side, where you are, where God's brought you, look back. Don't forget Moses. Number two, look out. Notice closely in verse number 8 how the enemy was everywhere. Notice it now. Let me read it. They're in the mountains. They're in the valleys. They're in the plains. They're in the springs. They're in the wilderness. They're in the south country. And then he names them. They're everywhere. You can't get away from it. You know what this tells me? On this side, we don't need to look back. We need to look out. And we need to realize the enemies that we face are everywhere. In other words, there's never a time we can let our guard down. We must constantly be on the lookout for our enemies who are out to destroy us, the world, the flesh, the devil. They're out to destroy us. And whether it's in the mountains or the valley or the plain or the spring or in the wilderness or the south, it makes no difference where you're at. They are there. Look out. Don't be taken by surprise. You stay here in the book of Joshua. Let me turn to the book of Romans chapter number 7 and verse 15. Here's what it says. Romans chapter 7 verse 15 and following. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. This is Paul speaking. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. And then there's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Amen or not there, friends? For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. May I paraphrase those verses? Say, what did you just read? Here's what Paul said. I want to do right, but my flesh wants to do wrong. And I catch myself, the things I don't want to do, those are the things I do. And the things I want to do, I don't do them. And I, oh wretched man that I am, how in the world can I live above this? Thank God, there's victory in Jesus Christ. You don't have to fall to the world. You don't have to fall to the flesh. You don't have to fall to the devil. Stop thinking things like this. The devil made me do it. That's a bunch of trash is what that is. The devil makes nobody do anything. The devil will tempt you to do it, but he does not do it for you. You choose to do it. I choose to do it. And we need to look out and understand that the enemy is all around. 1 Peter 5:8 puts it this way, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary or enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Notice all the present tense. Be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh. That's present tense. He's walking now. He's walking about. He's seeking now whom he may devour. That word devour means exactly what it sounds like. It means to gulp entirely. It means to swallow whole. Look here, please. That means he's not out to take a bite out of you. He doesn't want to nibble on you. He wants to make you disappear. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to wreck your life. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. Every one of us must look out for those kind of things. If you think you're above that, you're fooling yourself. We must not be lulled to sleep, in other words. But we must ever be on the lookout. During the Revolutionary War, a loyalist spy appeared at the headquarters of the Haitian commander, Colonel Johann Rall. He was carrying an urgent message. General George Washington and his Continental Army had secretly crossed the Delaware River that morning and were advancing on Trenton, New Jersey, where the Haitians were encamped. The spy was denied an audience with the commander and instead wrote his message on a piece of paper. A porter took the note to the colonel, but because he was involved in a poker game, he stuffed the unread note into his pocket. And when the guards at the camp began firing their muskets in a futile attempt to stop Washington's army, the general who was playing poker and refused to listen to the message was still playing cards. Without time to organize, that army was captured. The battle occurred the day after Christmas, 1776, giving the colonists a late present, their first major victory of war. Now, thank God for that victory for us, okay? But don't miss the point. One reason it happened is because that man was lulled asleep playing poker. You say, I'm not playing poker. Spiritually speaking, some of you could be. And you will lose. Because if you do not look out, you will go down. So will I. This is a point now that he told Joshua, look out. They're everywhere, Joshua. Don't be lulled to sleep. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Have you found that to be true? The spirit's willing. My, the flesh just battles it tremendously, doesn't it? Number one, we're talking about on this side, where you are right now. We are standing on, I'm at the last Sunday of the year, getting ready to go into a new year. We're pausing here with Joshua, who was now on the other side of Jordan, where he was, and God said, number one, look back and remember Moses. Number two, look out, the enemy's everywhere. Number three, look ahead. We see this in chapter 13, verse 1. Notice this now. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Do you see it? In other words, where Joshua was standing, there was great victory. God had blessed. Joshua's getting old now. And it's interesting what God tells him. He says, Joshua, I'm paraphrasing, you're an old man. That's what he's saying. You're old and well stricken in years, you're old. Now when God tells you're old, okay, friends? God said you're old. But then he said something interesting. He did not say you're old, sit back, take it easy, and rejoice in the victories I have given you. He did not say that. He said, you're old and well stricken in years. You're old, Joshua. And let me tell you what's in my heart is God. There's a whole lot more to do. You know what this tells me? Yes, we ought to look back and remember Moses. Yes, we ought to look out and understand the enemies everywhere. But then we ought to look ahead and understand there's more victories to claim. There's more land to take. Even at this great time of victory, God brings up the fact that there's still very much land to be possessed. This goes to show that we must not be content with where we are, but rather strive to be better and go deeper into God's promises. There's more to be done, more to be claimed, more to be possessed. I wonder, where are you in your Christian life? What great victory has God given you this year? What's He given you? I'm telling you, He wants to give you more. He wants you to do more. I want God to help us do more for Him this year than this church has ever done for Him. I want more than we've ever had. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. In a life of people striving to get more physical things and like more money and more houses, why don't we get a Holy Ghost desire to have more of God? More of what God has, more of God's promises, and more of His blessings. And I mean more of that. It's okay to desire more of what God wants to give you. Look ahead. 2 Chronicles 25:9. The man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Hey, whatever God's given you. Now, folks, don't let this take you into financial. I'm talking about the blessings and promises of God. Whatever God has given you, He's able to give you much more than this. He wants to do much more with you. Don't rest content. Matthew 7:11 says, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? Be a child of God that settles for nothing short of all God has for you. Don't rest content in the victory, but rather look ahead to the very much land to be possessed. Hebrews 6:1 talks about this. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Don't rest content. Go on. Keep going. You ever heard this? God is always advancing. That doesn't mean He's changing, but He's always moving forward. He wants to take you further. He doesn't want you to rest content. He wants you to give you more. He wants you to get closer and closer. Just look ahead and see what God wants to do. Let us all realize that until we are with the Lord in glory, until we are with Him in glory, there is yet very much land to be possessed. And I want to take more and more land from the devil, don't you? Don't you want to take more and more land from the devil? I'm talking about getting all God has for us. Look ahead. Hey, on this side, look back and remember Moses and the generation who had their battles and fought so you could have this side. Don't forget them. Hey, look out and realize that the enemy's everywhere. Makes no difference if you're in the mountain, the valley, makes no difference. They're everywhere. Don't be lulled to sleep. Don't fall asleep. Be sober, be vigilant. Keep your eyes open and don't fall asleep. Look ahead and realize that wherever you're at, hopefully you can look back and say, look what God has done. Look at that and look at that and look at that and look at that blessing and look at that blessing and look at that blessing and look at this. But God says, friends, yes, I want you to look back and understand that, but don't rest there. Look ahead of you. I've got so much more for you to do. Look ahead. Then finally, if you're following my outline, I think you've already figured it out, haven't you? Let's look up. No doubt about it. On this side, we are to look back and see those that's gone before. We're to look out and see the enemy that's all around. We're to look ahead and understand God wants us to get more and He's got more land to possess. Let us not forget the most important thing, and that is to look up and see where the victory's coming from. If you study through the book of Joshua, my understanding is that right here, that the name the Lord is used over 220 times. Over 220 times. I think God's trying to tell us something, don't you think? When we consider this side, where we are, and the other side, we must be reminded that God is on both sides. Did you hear what I just said? God is on the other side. He was there. But God is also on this side. And He is with us. And we must be reminded that if we are going to go forward and conquer more land, it will not be my know-how. It will not be your know-how. It'll not be my organization or your organization. It'll not be my demeanor or your demeanor. It'll not be my preaching ability or your teaching ability. It will all be the Lord. Every bit of it. He's the only one who's the answer to whatever life throws at us. When we look back and thank God for our Moses, it's because God helped him. When we look out and realize that there's an enemy to conquer, only God can keep us true to Himself. We look ahead and see all that land that God wants us to get, He's the only one that can take us there. We all should look up. It was not Moses or Joshua who was bringing these victories, but rather it was the God that they obeyed. In Psalm 105, verse 37 to 45, here's what it says. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering, fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and He brought quails, satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and the waters gushed out. They ran into dry places like a river, for He remembered His holy promise, and Abraham His servant. He brought forth His people with joy, and His chosen with gladness, and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe His statutes and keep His laws. Praise ye the Lord. In Psalm 136, verse 10, here's what it says. to him that smote Egypt and their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. Made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Any question? God's telling them it's not Moses, it's not Joshua, it was not Moses, it was not Joshua, it was God. Wherever you are right now, the answer's always the same. Look up. Look up to God. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When Moses and Joshua saw these great victories, I can see these dear men of God looking up and singing, all praise to him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave his son for man to die that he might man redeem. I can hear them lifting their voice and singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. I can hear Moses and Joshua as they contemplate and think about all the victories that God gave them on that side. And now Joshua up to that point and now these other things. And I can hear them when God gives them a victory just begin to sing, victory in Jesus. I'm telling you, I am glad for where the Lord has brought this local church. We are standing on this side. Here we are together. And you apply this to your family too. Here's your family on this side, wherever it is. You're on this side. There's four things that I'm challenging you to do this year. As a family, as a church, as an individual. Look back and remember those who've gone before. Remember those who fought to give you what you have. Look out, the enemy's everywhere. Don't fall asleep. Look ahead. There's more that God has for you. There's more he wants to give you. There's more land to conquer. But whatever you do, don't forget to look up and trust God. Get on your face and beg God for his help today. This is it. Look back. Look out. Look ahead. Look up. Those are four principles that I encourage you to put in your prayer list this year. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we? Father, would you bless this? Would you challenge us from the Word of God? Would you help us today to live by these things? Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. We're preparing for the invitation. I wonder today, what is God saying to you? What is the Lord speaking to your heart? As you are on this side, wherever that's at. In other words, just where you stand right now. Where you are right now. Especially if you're in the promised land. Especially if your life is on a spiritual blessing mountaintop. But really, no matter whether your life right now is in the promised land or not, just apply it to where you are right now. There are four things I'm encouraging you to do. Look back to those who fought to give you a chance. Look out, there's an enemy. Look ahead, God has more for you. Look up and realize he's the only one that can give it to you. And before I apply that to Christians today, I wonder today, as they begin to play through softly, do we have somebody here this morning that has come to church, but you are not sure that you are going to heaven. If the worst thing happened and you died today, you do not know for sure that heaven is your home. If that's you, you are among friends. And may I say this to you? Make this the greatest day of your life. And come and let us take a Bible and point you to Jesus Christ. I did not preach along those lines, I know that. But I always try to give the gospel net, at least at the end of church. Is there one today, say, Brother Jody, would you pray for me? If I die just like I am not 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I'm not for sure about that. I don't know that. If that's you and you're unsure of that, would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? I will not call you out. I will not embarrass you. Anybody at all? Then how about it, Christian? How about it, child of God? No matter where you're at, everybody has somebody to look back to. It could be a mom or dad. I thank God for the mom and dad that God gave me that I can look back to and thank them for having me in church and raising me right. Everybody who's a child of God has somebody that you can look back to. Even if it's not a faithful mom and dad, it could be a preacher. Could be a Sunday school teacher. Could be a relative. Could be a deacon. Could just be a friend. Matter of fact, have you are thinking of somebody right now that's in your past that fought to help get you where you are? Would you raise your hand? You're thinking of somebody like that. Don't ever forget them. You can put your hand down. Don't ever forget them. You ought to thank God for them. Hey, how about look out? The enemy's everywhere. You know what I think would be a great response to this message today? Is for men to take the lead. Grab your wife, grab your children. Take the lead. And so let's go pray. And let's beg God to keep us near to the heart of God this year. Let's beg God to help us always be alert to the attacks of the enemy. And let's determine as a family that by God's grace we will not fall. Be a worthy thing for many men to do that today. May God help you. You may be here as a teenager and you say, I believe God wants me to come forward and do that. You ought to, teenager. Hey, you're one bad decision from destroying your life. And the devil wants to wreak havoc in you. I think God would be pleased on this last Sunday morning of this year for teenagers to get out of their seat in just a moment and come and say, God, keep me close to your heart. Help me understand the attacks. Help me discern the enemy and not give in to the attacks. Look out. What about look ahead? Don't you want more? Don't you want more of God's promises? Don't you want all God has for you? Don't you want all God has for your marriage? Don't you want all God has for your children? Don't you want all God has for your Sunday school class? All God has for your bus route? All God has for your ministry? All God has for your personal life? Don't you want all of it? I'm telling you, there's always more to be obtained. There's always more to strive for. There's always more to claim, not just as a church, but as a family. Not just as a family, but as a mate in that family. Not just as a mate, but as a parent. Not just as a parent, but as a child. God has more. Don't you want it? Some of you need to come and say, God, help me look ahead. Help me see what's ahead. And help me strive and not quit until I get to what's ahead. To get everything you have for me and my family and my life and my ministry. God help you. I want this. And oh, let us not forget to get on our faces and say, oh God, help us to look back and look around. Look out, if you will, and look ahead to future victories. But oh God, help us never cease to look up, to rely on you, to trust you, to believe you, to give our lives to you. We'll have Brother Gary just to begin to sing. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If God is leading you, as a man to lead your family, just as an individual, teenager, whatever it is, to look back, look out, look ahead, look up, whatever it is, I believe God will be pleased with it. Father, take it and use it, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary singing, come on, friends. Obey the Lord.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow.
What about it, teenager?
Though no one join me.
What about it?
Still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Me and the Lord are watching. I feel led to ask this question. I'm not trying to make anybody uncomfortable. But how many today say, Brother Jody, God is my witness. The Lord is my witness. If I know my heart is right with God. I'm standing in the promised land. Now, folks, I'm not asking, are you perfect? Nobody is. But you do know if your heart's right with God. I mean, if God would answer that question himself and call your name and say, he or she, their heart is or is not right with God. It's one or the other. Have you say, I believe my heart is right with God. If you can say that, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Don't ever let that change. If you could not raise your hand, I am not going to ask you to respond. But I am going to ask you this. What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? Brother Gary and I will sing another stanza here. Why don't you get out of your seat and say, oh God, my heart's not right and I know it. I don't want to keep living this way. I want to have a fresh start. God gives fresh starts. But you must ask Him for it. As we sing, the altar's open, you obey the Lord. Just start with the gal, I'll join.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
Stephen Gallion, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice and pray, sir, please.